AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at rubrik.com. That's rubrik.com.
0141-951-1025. It's time to talk football. It's Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Good evening and welcome to Clyde One Super Scoreboard as we look back on a big weekend of results across Scottish football. It stays 13 points at the top as Celtic's wait for the title goes on after losing to bottom of the table St Johnstone. The door has been opened for an earlier finish when Rangers lost at home again, this time to Hibs. Huge wins for Dundee, Kilmarnock, Aberdeen and Dundee United with a three-way race for the top six going to the final day. I'm Gordon Duncan and joining me tonight you've got Andy Halliday and Roger Hanna.
There are stories everywhere we go. We spoke on Saturday early afternoon about this top 12 keeping the league the way it is, this state is quo, as Hugh Keevans called it, and it was showing exactly why it should stay the same. Shock defeats for Celtic and Rangers, shock red cards for Hearts and Motherwell, Dundee and Kilmarnock getting wins that probably take a wee bit of the relegation anxiety away, but only for 24 hours until St Johnstone get the biggest win of the season. It was a fantastic weekend and it tees up another one before the split this weekend, Gordon.
Who can predict Scottish football? Glasgow's big two losing at the weekend, Scotland's bottom three in the league winning at the weekend, and we're all set for an incredible match day 33 with a split going right down to the wire.
Cannot wait. Bring it on. 0141 951 1025. Give us a call right now. The guys are not seeing it for dramatic effect. A seriously long list of talking points for a Monday night, so take it away in whatever order you fancy. Top has not lost to bottom in about 13 years in the Scottish Premiership. It happened yesterday, just when Celtic were supposed to be moving towards that title. They still are, but just a bit slower than Brendan Rodgers would like. So what did you make of it yesterday, Celtic fans? Where did it go wrong? Bigger picture, are you concerned at the performance level? Are you concerned at the run of results? Are you concerned at complacency or slowing down or taking your foot off the gas? Or are those questions completely ridiculous because you might well win a treble in the next couple of weeks? You tell us. 0141 951 1025. Let us know how you see it, because there clearly is a bit of a divide out there if you look at social media. Rangers fans, it's another home game and another defeat. Five home defeats in a row. A Jack Butland mistake, Athletic Bilbao around the corner on Thursday. So what did you make of it? Again, where did it go wrong there? What about the bigger picture? The home form, Jack Butland's place in the team, Barry Ferguson's role as leader of the club, and so on. Give us a call right now, and whatever else you fancy, we are here for you. Big blow for the likes of Motherwell and St Mirren and Hearts in the race for the top six. But what it does mean, almost as if they meant it for drama purposes, all three of them can still make it into the top six next weekend, and Motherwell and Hearts play each other, the Andy Halliday derby. How's it looking at the bottom? Even tighter than it was before. So give us a call, all of that and more right now, and we'll whet your appetite with some Monday night awards. Quite easy, I think. Results of the weekend.
Result was, so I'm going to go with St Johnstone. You just mentioned bottom haven't beat top for 13 years. No one could have seen that coming going into the game yesterday, especially Celtic being buoyed with a result from Ibrox the previous day. The amount of tickets they got given going into the game yesterday, it was all set to be a party in the lead up to one more win after it for the league title, and St Johnstone get that early goal and they held on to it.
I'll need to go for Hibs. 2-0 at Ibrox, 5 consecutive home defeats for Rangers for the first time in their history, 16 unbeaten for Hibernian in the Premiership. David Gray a contender for Manager of the Year, Hibs a contender for European group football. I've nothing against them, Andy, nothing against them at all, but I hope this run ends quickly, because that Gavin Pearson's an absolute pest. Every time they extend this run, he texts me. He was at it again yesterday and I'm fed up with it.
2018, last time Hibs won at Ibrox as well.
Yeah.
You could have added that to your list. So lots going on there. I don't think you had too many good choices for this next one though. Goal of the weekend.
Well, I've grabbed a good one.
Mm.
Shaden Morris.
Brilliant.
Shady Mo, as Hugh Keevans calls him. A terrific surge. And I've said it before, Gordon, there's something special about those finishes that crash down off the underside of the crossbar. That's a good goalie, Jordan Amesa, that he's beaten. And you could have two goalies in, hit with venom, hit with accuracy. Wow.
After a 70 yard run, what are we calling it? I didn't get the measuring tape out, but at 60,
a solo run for sure. What I like about that as well is there's a bit of the old school in that. It's just an out and out winger with direct pace, running down the line, finishing to net. Talk about old school. Sam Dalby's header. That's what I'm going for. A proper old school
in the middle
striker's
of
the header. But I tell you what, not just any old header. What a header that is. You mentioned, wow, we were talking about it.
Ported his body backwards.
Well, you mentioned in our little waiting room next door that you said it was a great cross for Glenn Middleton. I actually don't think it was a great cross for Glenn Middleton. I thought it was an average cross that Sam Dalby done. Unbelievable to get his neck, his head round and generate so much power that it flashes it by Craig Gordon. It was very impressive.
Shaden Morris was just so good. Dangerous Dave Galloway dropped his wimpy.
No, he sat in before the game this week. He didn't bring it in the stadium. He sat in, I noticed.
You're kidding me.
No, he went for the full dining experience.
I don't do a lot of those social medias. Was he?
Oh yeah, he's zooming in on
pictures
his
pictures again.
He zoomed in on his meat bendy or pork bendy or whatever it's called, yeah. And posted a video of it. Shocking scenes. Anyway, howler of the weekend, Andy.
Howler. You've just mentioned him at the top of the show. I'm going to go for the Rangers number one. I think we're at the stage now where Jack Burton's goodwill for his performances last year and his performances that got him into the top four shortlist for the PFA Player of the Year are gone. I think that we're now at the realms asking serious questions whether Jack Butland continues as the Rangers number one. I think it's far too many high profile glaring errors and not even shots that you think, do you know what, he should save that. It's really, really poor errors. It's a volley from outside the box that has no real venom in it, no real pace in it, and it gets caught under his body, and again, he's cost Rangers points at the weekend.
Well, Rangers fans, you know the deal. Latch on to that one. Should Jack Butland be dropped or not? Give us a call right now. Your howler of the weekend,
well,
Roger Hannah.
Gordon, at 4:15 on Saturday when I was sitting at Dens Park and Zach Hemming blasted a clearance against Simon Murray and then dived over his shot. I noted it down and I thought, that's going to be my howler of the week. And then I got home and watched Sports Scene and I saw Kofi Bellmer sending off. Not for me. I think it was a poor decision. I think it was a poor intervention by VAR. I think your beloved Motherwell are correct to challenge the red card, and I will be fascinated to see if Kofi Bellmer is freed up to play Hearts in a very big game on Saturday.
Without getting yourself into trouble.
Well, to give a wee bit of insight into the listeners here, I actually asked Roger if he can take that as the howler because I don't want to get myself into trouble by discussing what I think of that decision. I think it's 2 weeks running where we've been hard done by. Not the first time, not the second time this season. I'll probably add to that as well. And hugely, hugely frustrating. I felt at the time that I couldn't believe he got sent off, but it's always that case, Gordon, that maybe I've got it wrong. You know, the VAR and the rest have got the beauty of seeing it again and watching different angles and slowing it down. And then just like Roger, when I watch it back again at night, I just can't believe that they've came to that decision.
Well, we'll find out tomorrow, I think, usually, the outcome of that appeal. So we wait and see. Come on then, Monday night, where else would you rather be? 01419511025. Craig is going to kick things off. Craig, Rangers
performance
fan. Oh, have you not done? Sorry, quick, performer of the
weekend. Hold on, Craig.
I'm glad you're here.
If Dundee are to stay in the league, there's one man that they've got to thank for it, and that's Simon Murray. Another 2 goals at the weekend, puts him joint at the top of the goal scoring charts with Dyson Maeda, so he's my performer of the weekend. Well, Craig's waiting.
Andy Fisher of St Johnson.
Oh, yeah, I like that. He was good, wasn't he?
Very, very good. Great. Good save from Forrest, good save from McCowan. His best performance in a St Johnson jersey.
Right, Craig, sorry, false start. What are you feeling after that weekend's defeat to Hibs?
That's all right. I just wish Andy could have picked a Rangers player for player of the week, but also that's not very likely these days. Yeah, I've got two main points, guys. I try to go on for a couple of days because my main point is I completely agree with Barry Ferguson. You know, that's not a Rangers team. That's not a Rangers performance. And I thought, to be perfectly honest with you, you know, watching the stuff on the club's YouTube channel and things like that, I thought it was quite harsh to put Conor Barron out there. I thought, you know, you've got your captain, your vice-captain, not doing media duties. I know media duties get kind of shared around, but I liked the way that young Barron spoke. I thought he came across like somebody was actually genuinely hurting, and I know he's been working quite closely with Barry and trying to improve his game and things like that, but I think it's quite interesting to see what the team will be in Thursday night, because, you know, we've not got the biggest of squads as it is. And, you know, Barry saying he wants to make, you know, a series of changes. Butland will start, but Butland, for me, is one of three players that need to go in the summer. You know, I'm sure you can guess the other two, but Dessers and the captain for me. But the problem is, how do you get these guys off the wage bill? Because, as I've said to the producer there, Dessers turned down a move to, was it, I can't even remember who it was a team in America last summer. You know, and for all intents and purposes, Tav was put up for sale last summer and they couldn't get a move. So that's something that's a bit of an issue for me. And these guys are on big, big money. You know, Butland, Wout, sound like I'm just, you know, throwing a phrase out there. Butland's chucking one in every game, and Dessers needs kind of like five or six chances to score a goal. So that's kind of my main point.
Yeah. Let's hear those comments that you made that you referred to, though, because I thought it was strong stuff from Barry Ferguson, that soundbite about not never been a Rangers team and so on. This is his reaction after the game. Barry Ferguson, clearly very angry.
God, where do I start? How long have we got? Spent a bit of time in the dressing room. A few home truths were told, and Hibs deserve to win. That's me just being straight. That's not a Rangers team. Miles from being a Rangers team. This is your bread and butter. And I've said it. I think I feel I'm repeating myself. European games, Celtic games, are the easiest games to get up for. These are the games that this group of players struggle with. It was evident today. Yet we started good again. Another mistake. Go into your shells, feel sorry for each other. We come back out it after 10 minutes. Finish okay. Second half, I demand a lot more from them. I don't get it. You're playing with Glasgow Rangers. You can't get up for games of football, then you shouldn't be playing football. Especially here, you're coming into a place like this, brilliant stadium, supporters packed to the rafters, getting behind you, and me put a performance on like that. As you can probably see or hear, I'm fuming.
Well, he is fuming. He's fuming because Barry Ferguson has seen this as a chance to become a Rangers manager on a permanent basis. And the players have let him down the same way that they let down Philippe Clement. Some of them let down Michael Beale, and there's even some of them there who let down Giovanni Van Bronckhorst. And I think the new owners of Rangers, when they come into the football club, will have done their due diligence and will realise that these players have let down Barry Ferguson and several managers before him, and they will be shown the door. And whoever the new manager at Rangers is, when the 49ers Enterprises take charge, I think he will oversee probably the biggest personnel overhaul in Rangers history, because the players at the football club, and you don't need to take my word for it, just listen to those words from Barry Ferguson, the players at the football club aren't good enough for the football club.
Yeah, listen, he questioned the character, he questioned the mentality to do it on a consistent basis. I think it's everything that we've mentioned about Rangers all season. I think it can be down to mentality, it's also down to quality, it's also down to style. I don't think they have anything going at the level that they have to. And again, I thought it was another really, really poor result and performance at the weekend. You mentioned it, five defeats in a row. I think the worrying thing within that is I think they've all been deserved, Gordon. I really do. I think Hibs again at the weekend was another game that they deserve to lose. Usually when Rangers or a Celtic lose at home, we've all seen the scripts.
Like
they've battered the door down, there's chance after chance, and the other team go up the park, they get a free kick or a corner and they score. That's not what these defeats have been. These have been comfortable victories from the away team or the opposing team, whoever it may be. And again at the weekend, so easy for Hibs to defend and easy to break through and create chances as well.
Craig, your second point, make it quick if you can. I'm going to squeeze in another before the break.
Sorry, probably wouldn't be quick, but I appreciate you guys might take a bit of time digesting it, but it's about Chris Boyd's comments about Greg Taylor. And I think the longer Rangers normally come out and rebuff a story like that quite quickly, and Greg Taylor, by all accounts, is a Rangers fan. By all accounts, according to, you know, what I've read, his wife's had a baby, doesn't want to leave Scotland. I think he's better than both the fullbacks that left-back Rangers have bought. My concern is it's not Walter Smith signing Kenny Miller, you know, and it's a different time, but I think there's a lot of legs in this Greg Taylor to Rangers thing, but I could be completely naive about it.
Oh, you're so right. How on earth are we supposed to deal with that quickly? Right, give it a bash. Well, to be fair, isn't Roger, not to, it's in your newspaper, it's Chris Boyd's column, it's not, that was a suggestion from Chris Boyd, isn't it? It's not a story as such.
Well, it was. I mean, I wrote a story from Chris Boyd's comments for the back of the newspaper last Tuesday morning.
But you know what I mean, though? It's not a transfer rumour.
No.
It's a wish list.
It's his opinion. Yeah, yeah. Yes, that Rangers, and listen, Craig, mm-hmm. Big Boyd said the same thing as you. He's better than the two left backs that Rangers have got there at the minute. You would think Rangers might look to sell Ridvan Yilmaz back to the Turkish league or to a European league. They might try and move on Jeffrey as well. So listen, I can't see it happening, but who knows.
We could do a whole show on that. And Christopher from Ayrshire has already actually been in touch tonight to say that Kofi Balmer did deserve to get sent off, so I'll be taking his opinion on everything.
Oh, I heard the comments
with a pinch of salt, quite frankly. Thank you to Craig. What about Stephen in Eaglesham? How's it going, Stephen?
Not bad, guys.
What are you thinking tonight?
Ah, oh, Jack Bolland, my days. I mean, sorry, I know people are probably talking about it already, but I have never, and I'm not getting worked up about this, right? I have never seen a worse goalie, not even just at Rangers, in the Scottish Premier League. Let's be honest, right? He's living off the name. He's living off being Jack Butland. He's living off that one England cap that he's got. The amount of absolutely horrendous clangers that guy's had this season alone. That's not even thinking back to the 3-each game at Ibrox last season, when he does this thing like he did against Hibs the other day, where he tries to dive down to a ball when he can just save it with his feet. He done it twice against Celtic when we drew 3-each last season. It cost us that game and potentially the title. He was poor in the cup final for the Adam Eder goal. In this season, I mean, Man United punching the ball into his own net, he nearly killed Robin Proper. The St Mirren game, when we're trying to hunt down Celtic at Christmas time, when he gives away a ridiculous penalty out of nowhere when the defender's covering the player. There's not enough time to go on about the horrendous. This guy, this season alone, look at McGregor and his whole Rangers career, all the time he had at the club. Jack Bullen's had more absolutely horrendous clangers this season alone than McGregor had his whole career. And he's utterly awful. And nobody can tell me otherwise. Simple as that. How many games does he win us? Now, he does well in the penalty shootout against Fenerbahce. But at the end of the day, you pick a side and sometimes you get lucky, right? But how many games could you go, oh, he's won us? Or alternatively, how many points could you say he's cost us? Now, this season, in the league alone, he must have caused us at least 9 points. He's absolutely garbage. And I get there's other players that need to go. There's a serious mentality problem in this squad, because we can put in outstanding performances and we can batter Celtic and we can batter teams in Europe, but we can't do it against the teams we should find it easy to do it against. But this guy, more than anybody, he has got to go.
It is quite a list from Stephen. I was going to ask Stephen if he should be dropped for Thursday, but I think I know his answer already. How big of a concern is it? Should it be for Barry Ferguson, for Rangers fans, etc.?
Yeah, I think it's a huge concern. Like I said, I think one thing, even though Rangers have not been overly successful, obviously, over the last maybe 15 or so years, I think one thing I've always said is I think they've always had a good, strong goalie. I think they've always had somebody that's really good between the sticks and giving them a foundation throughout the rest of the team. Jack Butland was that goalie last year, but this year, I can't even explain the downturn in form, because like I said, it's high profile errors that he's making time and time and time again. And it was really interesting to see Barry Ferguson talk about a series of changes. I look at the squad, I look at the bench, I think, who are these series of changes you're talking about? Because the only one to me that is really standing out is the goalkeeper in Jack Butland. And when I see him, Gordon, I see the replays every time he makes these errors, and it goes, I think he looks devoid of confidence. I really do. I think he looks sheepish every time. And I think he needs it for his own benefit to get taken out of the team. And people forget as well, you can say what you want, where you think, no, Liam Kelly is, no, should be the Rangers number one for the next 3, 4, 5 mm-hmm. years, whatever it may be. Liam Kelly's been a Scotland goalkeeper, a Scotland international goalkeeper for the last 3 years. He was Motherwell's player of the year for 2 years in a row. He came in for 6 games where Rangers were undefeated. One of them was against Celtic at Ibrox. The other one was Aberdeen at Ibrox. The other one was a European game. He played in high profile games and done well. and people point towards an error against Hibs where he maybe could have came for a cross or never. Rocky Bashiri headed at the top corner. He wasn't saving it if he came on his line or stayed. So again, I think it's time now. I think it's been too many errors. It's been too frequently. I think it's time he doesn't brought out the team.
For a touch of perspective, Stephen's passionate and puts his argument across well. There is a big gap between Jack Butland and the worst goalkeeper we've ever seen in the Scottish Premiership.
Absolutely,
Stephen.
I've seen some rotten.
I don't want to ruin that side of the argument, but we'll agree to disagree on that. Is the wider point valid? Is it damaging Rangers now? Would he make a change for a game like this?
It's certainly damaging Rangers, because he threw the one in against Motherwell that sent Motherwell on the road to victory. He threw the one against Hibs at the weekend that sent Hibs on the road to victory. I think it would be a big call from Barry Ferguson to leave Jack Butland out for home to Bilbao, away to Aberdeen, away to Bilbao. It's an enormous week. I take on board the points Andy makes. There are going to be changes because John Souter suspended, Mo Diamandis suspended. Could there be changes further up the pitch as well? I'm not sure that Barry Ferguson will add to those changes by asking the goalkeeper. But listen, you never know. It might just send a message out to the rest of the team that no one's untouchable.
Thank you, Stephen. 01419511025. What about Perth yesterday then? Let's get stuck into that when we return.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Watch as well as listen. Check out our YouTube stream now.
Why have you got an alarm on your main bedroom? Ron said he spoke well for his age.
Kind of childish and quite pathetic, and I thought you were better than that, mate.
Hold on, Irony's phoning me. Can I just call you back in 2 seconds? Is that okay?
Critchley cannot be the Hearts manager next year.
So
can.
You think...
He's got to go.
That was everywhere! That was everywhere on social media at the weekend. I'm not playing. You're at it. That's never a top bin question.
You just have to go, well, you can't educate the stupid. Johnston shouldn't be beating Celtic under any circumstances.
Plymouth shouldn't be beating Liverpool, but it does happen. One-off results do happen.
Tackle the headlines. 01419511025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Andy Halliday and Roger Hanna are here. 01419511025. Let's switch focus to Perth yesterday. James is a Celtic fan. What's happening, James?
Stephen, Gordon, Roger and Gordon, Andy.
Hi, James.
Yesterday, that was an embarrassment, watching that. We went to Atalanta. We've been to Bayern, and they were brilliant. Yesterday was absolute rubbish. How can so many players be off form at one time? And there's an underlying problem here. It's not just one game. The last 4 or 5 matches, the central defence, the midfield, have not been at the races. They're just, I don't know what's going on. The only person yesterday that I would give pass marks to was the Celtic goalkeeper. And for James Forrest, how he never busted it is beyond me. But the performances from Maeda, Slop, Johnston, Engels, Kuhn in particular, I don't know what's happened to him, but he is totally way after the boil. We had a party set up yesterday, 3 sections of the crowd ready to party, and they bust their bubble. Something went wrong, and how Brendan can he see that, I don't know. The changes made at half time. Yang came on, I think he played 30 minutes, I could be wrong. He was the best player in the park. It was so bad to watch. It was unreal.
There's only one sentence in there I would challenge, James, and that sentence at the end there when you said how Brendan can't see it. Brendan can see it. Brendan's seen it through the exact same eyes that you're seeing it. He's as mystified as you are. He's as angry as you are. And I think it will lead to changes in the summer, because I don't think he has been impressed in the slightest with many of the recent performances. There's a stat today, James. In the calendar year of 2024, Celtic lost 2 games. They lost at Tynecastle late in the season, and they lost that game at Dortmund in the Champions League. In 2025, we're only 3 months and a week into 2025, Celtic have lost 6 times. Now, you can lose to Bayern Munich, and you can lose to Aston Villa at Villa Park, but Celtic have lost twice to Rangers, they've lost to Hibs, and now they've lost to St Johnson. They hadn't lost to St Johnson in years, and Brendan Rodgers was furious with the performance, he was furious with the result, and I think he'll be seriously considering the futures of some of these guys in the summer and bringing in players that will be able to produce better displays than you've seen of late.
How much of it do you think is starting games now, Andy? Because I think if you were being, it's hard to separate them, and there's no point in trying to make excuses because Brendan Rodgers is angrier than anyone. The second half performance probably was fine, and you create enough chances, and if you score them, you know, it's different. But the way Celtic start in these games at the moment,
which is why Brendan Rodgers was not questioning their quality, he was questioning their mentality, because he feels as if they've settled on what they feel as if the league's already won. And I think you can sense it in the performance yesterday, specifically in that first half. They were so flat. They were devoid of any urgency, any real creativity. And I only really felt there was an upturn in performance when the subs came on and added that little bit more injection of, I wouldn't say huge injection of quality, but a bit more urgency, a bit more tempo within the game. But I can understand, you know, if you feel like the league's won and you're only a game or two away, why it's a slightly more difficult to get up for. But remember, that's an addition for a Scottish Cup semi-final that's coming in a couple of weeks against a team that you've just lost to yesterday. So Celtic, although they're still going to win the league, they're going to have to find it within them very, very quickly to get towards that top form if they're going to win this treble.
Also, Roger feels like it's a bad time to stop being efficient in front of goal. You know, you're going to get times where you might not perform well, but I mean, James Forrest's chance, everyone's talked about how good a save it was by the goalkeeper, he needs to score.
He should have scored the goal.
And again, as good as the defending was, and it was a great challenge 2 months ago, does Kuhn just have more of a killer instinct there when he's got a 1 yard tap in? Yeah. You know, stuff like that.
He looked like a guy. I mean, there's no way Stephen Duke McKenna should have got back to that. It should have been in the back of the net from Nicholas Kuhn. Forrest, this is the only season in Celtic career he's still to score a goal. He scored more against St Johnstone than any other opponent in his career. You just thought, you know, the die was cast, he was going to score the equaliser, and he just didn't get hold of it at all. And Andy Fisher made a good save. But, you know, it's in days like that that Celtic fans like James will rightly look at Arnie Ingles, £11 million. Adam Ida off the bench, £9 million. Jota, did he describe himself last week as Jota 2.0? I think James would rather go back to Jota 1.0, thanks. It's those players who need to step up. Callum McGregor, James Forrest, exonerated yesterday by Brendan Rodgers. James is exonerated with Jamie Sinisalo, but the rest of them need to have a look at themselves.
Well, let's hear from Brendan Rodgers, because I think he was quite clearly unhappy with what he witnessed.
Bitterly disappointing, poor start to the game, but not the first time. Not the first time, and this is something for me that we will look at, certainly in the summer. But the start was really poor. It was soft. It was too comfortable. Yes, mentality. It's a group that has mental strength. But I've been in teams, and especially up here, where you just power your way through the season right to the very end. And there's maybe a few that are comfortable. And comfort is not a physical place. When you're comfortable, you become a bit timid. And you lose duels. And you lose the fight. And you can never be that if you want to be a top player. So collectively, that's the annoyance. But there's definitely anger, trying to control it. But the very best players are right on it from minute one. And I'm not talking here about boys like Callum McGregor, who deals with expectation, he deals with being the underdog in the Champions League, and guys like that. We have some players going in looking for an easy game, and that's what we need to look at. There's a comfort there I don't like, and it doesn't matter if you're 13 points or 3 points, It's not enough. We have to be much better than where we were in our ambition in the game. I cannot use that as an excuse. Can't use that as an excuse. I maybe thought, or Ibrox, yeah, when we lost the game there, 2nd of January, okay, 16 points, I can look at that, or whatever it was. But not now, it's happened too many times. My intention always was here and with the points is to sprint over the line. And I've done that before, and I know what it looks like. But I don't like that side of it in this team, because for Celtic, it's winning the best way you possibly can. Not just chugging your way over the line.
Strong words there from the Celtic manager. What about Chris, who's in Govan? How do you feel about things, Chris?
To be honest, like, as you boys know, I go to the games all the time, and see, to be honest, over the last couple of weeks, it almost looks like he's ran out of ideas. We get the ball for the goalie, we give it to the left back, we go back to the centre back, we go back to the centre back, we pass it forward, and then about 7 passes later, we're back at the goalkeeper. Teams, like any most teams that come to Celtic Park, or when we go to their ground, St Johnstone, you know, your lower league clubs, they're happy for us to do that. They'll give us 80% possession. And if they get a point, that's brilliant. Yesterday, and again, what St Johnstone did yesterday
It was a carbon copy of the Nicholas Raskin goal against us. He ran to the front post, lost Sloot again, who was at fault for the Raskin goal originally. He lost them and scores. It's exact. It was carbon copy. It was almost like they watched a DVD and went, look where their weak link is. And they done it and they scored. And then after that, defended valiantly. That keeper, I think it was Fisher, was the goalie. He had an absolute worldie. He will never have a game like that again in his career. He had an absolute worldie and he made three or four great saves. But we didn't create, in my opinion, enough. We have enough quality within that team, whether the goalie's having a worldie or not, to score at least two goals against St Johnstone.
I think it's a tactical problem. I think that's what Chris is alluding to, Andy, because Celtic are finding themselves in a really interesting spot here. In a couple of weeks' time, they could be treble winners. So what are we now saying that there are trebles that aren't won in the right way? That's a really difficult sort of idea to get your head around.
Yeah, well, Chris kind of touched on the style at the start, how they start for the goal and go to the left back. And Celtic have done that all season.
And that's
Celtic have been successful this season.
13 points ahead.
And for the first 6-7 months of the season, Celtic were excellent playing that style. Celtic have also improved in Europe playing that style. So I don't think it's anything to do with how they're playing. I just think over the last sort of 4, 5, 6 weeks, when everyone probably outside of Brendan Rodgers and his players are saying the league's over, that complacency's crept into the Celtic side, and I don't think they're playing with the same urgency, the same intensity, the same rotations. And you know, we've all, you know, I use Dyson Maeda as an example. We all talked about Dyson Maeda since he's went up front, how explosive he is and what he adds to the team and running in behind. I watched the game, I don't think I've seen Dyson Maeda make a run forward yesterday. I mean, everything was defeat, everything was coming short. Again, Nicholas Coon, when he got the ball, no real urgency to excel in 1v1 scenarios. He was coming back, putting the safe pass. And I was quite happy that Roger mentioned it, because I'm hearing a lot of Celtic fans criticise Coon week in, week out. And listen, quite rightly so, he's been off the boil compared to the start season. But Jota's not performing to the level that Jota was prior to getting his move to Saudi. So I think you'd like to see a lot more of him as well. And Arne Engels, Arne Engels has been a player that we've obviously spoken about on the show recently. Again, you're looking at him and for the ability that he's obviously got at such a young age, being brought to the club for £11 million, you must show more.
How steep has the drop-off been in Nicholas Coon recently, Chris?
It's been very, very poor. What I will say about Nicholas Coon, and I'm sure Andy will obviously see it from certain players he's played with in his career, when Nicholas Coon is not in the mood, he is not in the mood. When he's in the mood, he's one of the best players in Scottish football to watch. But see when he doesn't, I don't want to say he doesn't want to try, but see when he's maybe trying to take on a player and the fullbacks took the ball off him twice or tackled him and he doesn't go by him. He just basically, don't give me the ball, I'll get somebody else. He's been very, very poor within the last, I would say, about 4 games maybe. He's been, that's been the poorest I've seen Nicholas Coon this season. I mean, from his heights against Leipzig, I mean, he's been very, very poor recently. And as I think it was Roger alluded to yesterday, he should have scored the tap-in. I mean, great defensive challenge for the boy to not give away a penalty or anything like that, but Nicholas Coon should be scoring there any day of the week.
It felt like, Roger, he was one of the ones that Brendan Rodgers really was aiming the comments at for a couple of reasons. Obviously, he was brought off early, so that tells its own story. It wasn't in that clip we played, but there was a bit in there about and I'm paraphrasing here, it's easy when you're in the Champions League and you're the underdog and it's easy to, you know, run hard and do these types of things. And it just felt like, who is that referring to? Because he exonerated Callum McGregor, as you said, and James Forrest.
It's not going to be Maeda. Maeda scored 30 goals and, you know,
and as much as they've not been at their best, he still loves Alistair Johnston, he still loves Cameron Carter-Vickers and so on.
I also thought Hatate was probably roundabout Celtic's best player yesterday. He certainly came the closest to scoring. He was involved in a lot of things. He was trying his hardest. But, you know, you could be looking at the guys who were subbed off, I would think. He's clearly unhappy with their contribution. And he's right. You know, you can't just pitch up at Perth and take 3 points for granted. Even against a St Johnstone team that were 8 points adrift at the bottom at the start of play, these guys are professional players. They're fighting for pride. They're fighting for contracts at the start of the season, because if St Johnstone get down, there'll be big cutbacks there. And Brendan said, you didn't actually play that bit of audio. Brendan said at the end, St Johnstone played as if they wanted it more, as if there was more on it for St Johnstone. And really, I don't think that's an accusation that should sit easy with Celtic players.
Thank you, Chris. Let me tell you about this before we move on.
Oh my God.
Cash Dash.
Brilliant stuff, man.
There's over £500,000 up for grabs here. Do not delay, because we're only a couple of days away, a few days away from someone winning £520,000. Text YES to 61025. Texts are 250 plus your standard network rate. You can enter on our website for 250 or call 03434 269 340, and the calls are charged at a standard rate. It's over 18s only, and all the rules for this Rayo Network competition are on our website. Lines close 5pm Friday. Someone will win the lot. It might as well be yours. £520,000. Text YES to 61025.
Number one for football in Glasgow and the West. 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Andy Halliday and Roger Hanna are here, so give us a call. Let us know what you're thinking after a busy, busy weekend across Scottish football. Stephen's next up. He's a Celtic fan. How are you, Stephen?
Good evening, gentlemen. Thanks very much for taking my call.
Pleasure, Stephen. There's a lot of negativity around, even though the team could still end up with a successful season. What are you thinking?
To be fair, listen, I know it's been hard to criticise the team because they've done really, really well. But I think just this last month, you know, there's a wee bit of complacency crept in to our game. We've not been starting games well, like Brendan said the other day. And, I mean, what on paper at Christmas looked like a coast towards the title? And I know on paper it probably will look with the points, but it's kind of an uncomfortable finish. You know, I think Celtic had a chance on Sunday there to set it up for a home victory against Kilmarnock, right? And they've fluffed the lines again. And to be fair, St Johnstone were fantastic and deserved the points fully. You know, I don't have any grumblings. But kind of agree with Brendan and the mentality thing. You know, the teams of old, and I include maybe Rangers in this as well, both of these teams are required to win all the time. And, you know, a wee bit of me makes me think that maybe Celtic just aren't as good a team as I think they are. Because if they had a bigger challenge this year, I'm not entirely sure, you know, they maybe have come through it with such flying colours if there was a challenge there.
The thing is about that, Roger, you will never know.
Yeah, there isn't a challenge.
You can spin it the other way and say maybe Celtic don't start dropping points now if they know someone's behind them. So it's so difficult to...
Yeah, you're never going to work that one out, you know, whether they'll be responding if it's more of a challenge. They look as if they're going to win a treble, but they won't win the treble if they play like they did yesterday. Play St Johnstone again, and then Hearts at Aberdeen at Hampden in the final. They will need to come out of this little dip. They've been flashes, you know, the Hearts game at home and played the front foot, really good goal. Callum McGregor feeding that ball through to Maeda, lovely finish. Maeda's playing really well. He got two goals and assists that day. And you thought they'd sort of come out of that little dip, which saw them lose to Rangers and lose to Hibs, etc. But that was a real setback yesterday. And I was fascinated to see Saturday lunchtime, home to Kilmarnock. I know you've got a big 6-hour show on Saturday, Gordon. Whether Brendan Rodgers gets the sort of response that he'll be looking for. And I'll also be fascinated to see what changes he makes. You know, whether some of the guys who have been on the periphery, and I'm talking the likes of Taylor again, the likes of Bernardo, maybe even Adameda, whether they get a start or whether they haven't done enough in the manager's eyes to earn the start.
Yeah, I actually had a debate with a friend of mine today, who was a Rangers fan, and he says, you know, if you look at these last five defeats in a row, if we won three, then there'll be 4-point gap between the two teams. My response was, in my opinion, that's not how it would have worked. I think if there was 4 points between the two teams, I think Celtic's approach to the game is different, which is why Brendan Rodgers is questioning the mentality, because they feel as if they're coasting, they're not sprinting over the line as he suggested. And he's quite right to be disappointed about that, because they've still got two massive, massive games ahead of them if they're going to be winning this treble. And it's funny you talking about changes. The first person that should be, I'd imagine, chatting on Brendan Rodgers today is Mike Navroski, for me.
Yeah.
You're talking about comfort and players settling in their position regardless of how their performances may be. What about Mike Navroski, who's came in over the last two games, performed well and done enough for me to keep his jersey, and he stepped back out the team, and Austin Trusty didn't grab his chance. So it'll be interesting to see how that goes.
What do you think, Stephen, in that point?
Well, I actually 100% agree with Andy on everything that he said there. I believe that, I mean, Morocco, for me, should have started. And I mean, I think over the last couple of months, there's been big players at Celtic that are in there and they shouldn't really be there. Real Hatate, for me, culpable. You know, Flash is technically a great football player, but blows hot and cold, and mostly cold over the last couple of months. You know, other than the goal at Aberdeen, I think, you know, he's missing a large percentage of his shots outside. And to be fair, I'm not seeing enough of Arne Engels. I know he's a young guy and he's here with a big price tag, but I think if you're an attacking midfielder at Celtic with the amount of chances that we create, you have to score from open play. And it's great that he's scoring penalties and stuff like that, but I don't know. I mean, I think he needs to up his game a wee bit. And I would like to see Bernardo in on Saturday, hopefully, and Morocco back, because I think he showed that he's more than capable of playing on that left-hand side.
Is this a short-term thing, Roger, that will be forgotten about if Celtic can win a treble? Because I suppose we keep talking about it, we shouldn't take it for granted. Look at the game at the weekend. Obviously, there would then be a final to win, but it's a big if. If they get over the line and they win a treble... Now, they've won trebles before. The difference this time would be a treble with progression in the Champions League. Yeah. And yet it feels tonight like there's like real question marks about, you know, where they are and so on.
If Celtic win a treble, it will be forgotten about by James and Chris and Stephen, the last three Celtic supporting callers. I don't think it'll be forgotten about by Brendan Rodgers. I get the impression that, and I've had this impression since January when they lost heavily at Ibrox. You know, Brendan comes in and very, very seldom throws individual players or, you know, gangs of players under the bus. He's a very protective manager. He takes the players along with him. But I just sense a sort of growing just sense of being fed up with him, with Brendan Rodgers. He doesn't like losing games of football. He's lost six now at the start of 2025. You know, they probably will win the treble. I think the manager will be noting the way the team's playing at the minute, and several players should be looking over their shoulders.
That must be a hard sweet spot to find then, Andy. Who am I to tell Brendan Rodgers about the standards? And I get it, these guys want more and they want to be the best version all the time, and then the Celtic fans want that. But you wonder what the ceiling is, because if you feel that...
How much more scope for improvement is there?
And it's such a big if, because they might not win the treble. But like I say, if the treble was to be delivered in a season where you did also progress in the Champions League, albeit new format, and push a good team like Bayern Munich pretty close, but that's still seen as, nah, there was a lot in there we didn't like. You just wonder what the scope is.
Yeah, I know, I agree with you, and it's hard to kind of explain myself, but I think that is just where the demand is more, the mentality that he's questioning within the players. And if he's questioning your mentality, I think that's probably more worrying than if he's questioning your quality more than anything. But it does make you laugh when you look at, you've tipped David Gray to tip you as your manager of the year, couldn't win a game for the first 2-3 months of the season. But it shows you how the narrative goes when the run comes at the right time towards the end of the season, because Brendan Rodgers would have been far and away the manager of the season based on the first 7-8 months of the season, trebles or whatnot. But this wee shaky period, even though they're under no pressure from a challenger elsewhere, you start to see little cracks in how you're coming after certain players, individuals and their character.
Who would you vote for, Andy?
I think Brendan Rodgers is an absolute cast iron certainty for manager of the year.
That said, if there is a slip up in the Scottish Cup, we'll only extend the phone lines till midnight every night. So I know it was a big if. Thank you very much. 01419511025. It's time to play this.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
Come on then, Beat the Pundit time, the first of a new week's a tough school on a Monday, but I know you like a challenge. So 0141 951 1025, lines close at 7.
You are the voice of Scottish football. Call 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Roger Hanna and Andy Halliday are here. We're halfway through, so keep the calls coming. Where did it go wrong in Perth yesterday, Celtic fans? What does this say overall at a time where you're annoyed about the form and think things are slipping, but you might end up having a very successful season? How do you find the middle ground in all of that? Rangers fans, another home defeat. Bilbao round the corner. Question marks about the goalkeeper. We've not really spoken about Barry Ferguson and the way the club is operating at the moment, so get your calls in and anything else from the weekend. Andy Halliday says he feels hard done by Motherwell sending off. Big wins down the league. The race for the top six goes on. So get the calls in and we'll speak to you next.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
Beat the Pundit time. Richie's on the line. How are you, Richie?
I know, Baz. How are you?
Good, thank you. First time?
First time on Beat the Pundit, aye.
Good. I told you that last week I started reading some out. Well, there's a new statistician in town. Matthew has been sending in some unbelievably detailed records. He's gone back and listened to every Beat the Pundit from this season, all sorts. So this just shows he's done the research, and he says, Roger Hannah, the stats prove that it is fair for you to be on minus two.
Who is this? Tell me who's this?
Matthew. So he sent him in because apparently the most correct answers per game is still you on 6.3. So he says that's proof that minus two is fair. And Andy Halliday, you would be second because he does. However, you should be worried, Andy, because he says that it's a solid argument for you to go on minus one.
I need to tell you, Gordon, my daughter phoned me from the pub the other night. She'd encountered a gentleman called Tino who beat me earlier in the season.
I remember it, yeah.
Yeah, I think it was on the tie break at the end. So that was fine. I remembered it. I said, pass on my best. And I went to pick her up at the pub several hours later.
No.
And Tino was stood out in the street waiting for me.
With his sign ball?
No, he didn't have his sign ball because his sign ball is pride of place in his house. So it was very nice to meet him.
Does that mean
He did say he'd phone back for a rematch, but obviously his bottle's
crashed. Mean your daughter goes around the pub saying Roger Hannah's my dad?
No. They knew each other. Right.
Who was the guy you had the? You've played twice. He beat you once, and you beat him once.
The
trilogy needed because he was very good.
Yeah, he was.
I can tell you, Richie, as part of Matthew's research, see to beat the pundits, take them to a tiebreaker. There you go.
Really?
The pundits are pathetic at tiebreakers. They've only won 10 out of 31 tiebreakers.
I can believe that.
You'll sleep well tonight.
As Ross McCormack said, they've only won 180 of 31 tiebreakers.
I've went to a tiebreaker once and lost.
There you go. Right, anyway, let's toss the coin, Richie. Yeah. Heads, it's Andy. Tails, it will be Roger Hannah minus two. And it is Roger Hannah minus two.
Oh, good luck, Richie.
Okay, let's go.
Cheers, good luck.
Roger something else in his lungs, Richie. 30 seconds, answer as many as you can. And pass if you don't know the answer, okay?
Okay, go ahead.
30 seconds on the clock and your time starts now. How many consecutive home matches have Rangers lost?
Five.
Name a Scotland international who played in Everton v Arsenal on Saturday.
Nathan Patterson.
Who won 5-0 in the Championship at the weekend?
Pass.
How many league games unbeaten are Hibs?
16.
Who was Celtic's first non-British or Irish manager?
Wenger.
Bayview is home to which League 2 club?
Sorry?
Bayview is home to which League 2 club? Three, two, one. Quick!
Dumbarton.
Okay, let's bring him back. Roger Hannah, can you hear us?
Yeah.
Good, same set of questions to you. Are you ready?
Go for it.
Your time, your 30 seconds, starts now. How many consecutive home matches have Rangers lost?
Five.
Name a Scotland international who played in Everton v Arsenal on Saturday.
Kieran Tierney.
Who won 5-0 in the Championship at the weekend?
Falkirk.
How many league games unbeaten are Hibs?
16.
Who was Celtic's first non-British or Irish manager?
Vim Johansson.
Bayview is home to which League 2 club?
He's five.
How many Old Firm goals did Chris Boyd score?
One.
Who was the first non-Scot to win PFA Scotland Player of the Year?
I am going to say Brian Loudrup.
Okay. Richie, have you done enough?
Nah, no chance.
Well, he does start on minus two, remember. And you both knew that Rangers have lost five in a row. So you're still two up, Richie. You both knew, you had a choice. Nathan Patterson started the match.
I didn't realise that.
He did, which is encouraging.
Yeah.
And from the national team perspective. And Kieran Tierney came on.
Right, okay.
So you still trail by two. Falkirk won 5-0 against Morton as they close in on the title. So Roger Hannah pulls one back because Richie didn't get it. But Richie stays one in front because he knew that Hibs are 16 games unbeaten. Celtic's first non-British or Irish manager, Richie, you weren't far away either, but Vim Janssen was in first, so Roger Hannah equalises. Bayview is home to East Fife. Roger Hannah takes the lead and he's wrapped it up. Chris Boyd scored one Old Firm goal, May 2007. Time for you to show you're still human, as the cliche would go. Theo Snelders.
I was going to say that. Theo Snelders. Aberdeen, man.
That was a good while before Loudermilk.
Yeah, there you go. So it was not enough, Richie. You had him. You had him for a bit, but he just pulled through in the end. Hard lines.
I think I took too long and a couple of questions. That was the one.
No. Who's your team, Richie?
Well done. Impressive. Very impressive.
Cheers, Richie.
Who's your team, Richie?
No worries. Good luck.
It's fine. I thought you were just fed up with us. I was just asking who your team was. I was just going to talk football for a bit. I liked you. I liked the sound of you.
Rangers.
That's how you knew the Rangers question. So
Rangers,
quick,
man.
At the start. What's
it's hard to forget that. Isn't
what's
it?
What's the feeling? What's happening?
I don't know. It's an enigma, isn't it? It's, you know, the one minute you're playing brilliant. I think that maybe it is the fact that the players have got nothing to play for. They can only get themselves up for these big TV games. But you look at the games that Celtic have lost, you know, they're going to wrap up titles, and the games that they've lost, you know, we could have capitalised, and the players just haven't done that. So in their heads, had the league gone well before then? You know, losing at home to St Mirren, that was a painful one. Motherwell as well, and then Hibs, you know, those games, you win them, you're 4 points behind. And not necessarily if you'd won them, would Celtic have lost then? You know, they might have took their foot off the gas because we've lost. But, you know, still, you're looking at those home games and you're thinking, how is a Rangers team losing them at Ibrox? You see them at Ibrox and they're just not up for it at all. They're not at the races. And, you know, I remember going when Gerrard was in charge and you'd be three up within 20 minutes. The game was done and dusted, and then they'd start to relax, but they came out all guns blazing, and that was the Rangers that I loved watching, you know. And I just don't know what's happening. I mean, I can see us probably going out and getting a result on Thursday, as crazy as it sounds, just the way that we are playing. You know, it's a big game, it's on TV, you know. Like Barry Ferguson said, the players have no trouble getting themselves up for that. But is he the man for the job? I don't know. I think if he is, I don't know who's going to give him all the money to go and spend on rebuilding that whole squad, because it needs gutted again, and it's just sad being this going over this every single summer. You know, we need to rebuild. But whoever comes in or whoever takes the reins has got a big job in their hands.
How does this reflect on Barry Ferguson, Roger and Andy? Because this is just the way we work. We're so knee-jerk. If Rangers get a good result, everybody phones in on the Monday and says, by the way, you know, look at the character, look at, you know, coming back, and if he keeps this up, he'll get the job. And then it's now 5 home defeats in a row, albeit he wasn't in charge for all of them. And people say, ah, well, there you go, of course, you know, you can't get the job. Can it be that sort of delicate?
I don't think it reflects really one way or the other on Barry Ferguson.
You think it's irrelevant?
Yeah, I think most of the observers realise that it's down to this group of players, and you could have an Alec Ferguson in charge of them, and I don't think you would have get the tune out that some Rangers fans come in.
Gordon DL's point of the weekend was he was getting credit for some of the good stuff in recent weeks, so can you then be detached from some of the bad stuff?
No, you can't be detached from some of the bad stuff. No, he's been unable to stop the flood of goals that are going in. I think has he been in charge of 8 games and 5 or 6 of them have been 2-0 down. That is no good. Whether you're in charge of Rangers or Berwick Rangers, you're not going to get very far with that. So, you know, I just think there's a group of players here who have now let down a number of managers. Clermont, Bill, Van Bronckhorst, and eventually the penny's going to have to drop that you can't keep sacking managers. You have to start getting rid of the players, and I think an awful lot of these players will be shown the door this summer.
I mean, but were we right, Andy, to say that Barry Ferguson could have won himself this job? Or actually, was that with this group of players then, was that always just an impossible task that we got carried away with after a couple of good results?
Well, what made it an impossible task for me was to go and beat Celtic and to go and beat Fenerbahce, which they passed. I didn't think it was an impossible task to beat Motherwell at home, Hibs at home, and the other, what was the other game? Oh no, that was the games that he's lost.
So yeah, Dundee away.
So the actual games were, you know, you felt it was an impossible task. I thought they got through it. They went and won at Celtic Park. They went and won at Fenerbahce.
Is it not similar, I should say, to what Brendan Rodgers' complaint is about the Celtic team? They can get up for the Champions League games, but they can't get up for St Johnstone and McDermott Park on Sunday lunchtime.
I think what I meant is maybe I worded that the wrong way around.
No, I knew what you meant. There's no doubt that Barry Ferguson on his own knew it was an addition for the job. He knew that if he made it absolutely impossible for them not to give him the job, he would get the job.
Could you have ever even done that with this group of players?
I think so.
You think so?
So he can't, with the group of players he's got, they can't beat Hibs at home.
I don't know, but I'm saying because he's Barry Ferguson, the relatively inexperienced manager. So in a normal circumstance, he doesn't walk in with the CV that gets him the Rangers job, right?
Yep.
So he gets put in for a reason, and you say, well, in an ideal world, there's a new owner, new manager. But if he can go unbeaten to the end of the season, if he can really progress in the Europa League, do you think that this group of players had that in them?
No, because like I says, I don't think they would have beat Celtic, and I don't think they would beat. I wouldn't fancy them to beat Celtic at Ibrox, but I still would have fancied them to win the other games that they've not, which is the biggest surprising thing.
The worry must now be: is Bilbao fourth in La Liga? Nico Williams, Iñaki Williams, Danny Vivian, all these players coming. Then it's Aberdeen at Pittodrie, where they've already lost this season, and then you've got the five other best teams in the league after the split. With this group of players, it could actually get a lot worse before it gets any better.
I think he's been praised in certain scenarios as well. His ability to change things within games, whether it's personnel or what it may be.
But you can't continue doing that. You can't continue changing it at two goals down.
But what I also think you can't continue to do is you can't continue to change shape game by game, depending on your opponents, to go and search results. Rangers are changing shape to a week-to-week basis to try and find a result. I think it's more the style that needs to improve if they're going to go and win the game, which is interesting to hear his comments after the game saying that he doesn't think they're capable of playing an attractive style of football. So he knows what he's going to do from now to the end of the season, which obviously remains to be seen.
Thanks to Richie, by the way. Because he is in a unique position, is that why he can not say what he wants? But if you're a permanent Rangers manager and you need to keep the players with you, you're never coming out on a Saturday and going, that's never a Rangers team in there, but do you think?
Absolutely. He can say it. Because he's Barry Ferguson, the Rangers legend who's won everything as the captain in years gone past, and he's got a lot of goodwill in the bank with the supporters, he can say that. B, he probably in his heart of hearts knows the ship is sailing and he's not going to be the manager. So
you think so?
Yeah, you would imagine so.
And nodding.
I think so, yeah.
And C, Rangers as a club don't need to mollycoddle these players anymore, because there'll be a new manager coming in this season who will have had one look at this group of players and decided they're not for him.
I'm sure we'll do this as the week progresses, Andy, but this and this notion that, and I don't disagree with it, because there's been loads of evidence, but Richie mentions it, that sort of won't be surprised if you win on Thursday. You wonder if that ever catches up, because as Roger said, Bilbao should in theory be the toughest test. Credit for going through against Fenerbahce, but maybe easy to forget that the home leg was a defeat. If they can do it again, this magic Thursday night power needs serious scrutiny.
Yeah, listen, they've surprised me time and time again. Surprised will be the wrong word if they go and win on Thursday, because for me, they have to win. Because I think even a draw going over to Bilbao, I think it's way too big a task. With the Bilbao, I've watched actually a couple of times this season, with the talent they've got on show, Nico Williams, who under no doubt is going to go for an obscene amount of money.
Yeah, he'll go for 60 million plus.
Oh, plus.
Surprised he didn't after the Euros, incidentally.
But this will be the most confusing sentence I've ever given you, but I'd be surprised, but I wouldn't be surprised if it went. How does that work?
I detect you think this is a step too far.
I do, yeah. I actually think Bilbao are a team on the way up. They won the Copa del Rey last year, which was the first major trophy they'd won in 18 or 20 years. I think Valverde's a very underrated coach. They're even going to leave out Unai Simon, Spain's number one, I think, because he's not their European goalie. But, they had a really good result, 0-0 at fifth place Villarreal last night. They're sitting there fourth in the table. Only Barcelona, Real Madrid and Atletico Madrid are above them in the table. I watched them, they blew away Roma, who admittedly were down to 10 men early in the game when Mats Hummels was sent off. They blew away Roma in the last round. Between Simon, Danny Vivian, Nico Williams, they had three of the Spain starting 11 that beat England in the final of the Euros. This is a top quality side. They've got threats right the way through the team. And Nico Williams, as Andy said, they've probably got one of the best players in European football.
I think they'll win the tournament.
They've
got the final at home, yeah. And so if they go through Rangers, they've got Man U potentially, who could be a tapping.
Well, what a bore fest that was.
Oh, I tell you what, I don't want to hear anything about Scottish football if you watch that 90 minutes.
I know he's a divisive character, but I thought maybe even if the people who don't usually like him or agree would agree with Gary Neville. Did you see that stuff yesterday?
Yeah, just saying, like, I thought it was brilliant.
They're all just robots. They're just pre-programmed. Brilliant. It's just, you know, just lacking what it, you know, what it should.
In another weekend where, yes, we can criticize our ref, but James Tarkowski's tackle.
I said this last week, unbelievable. Craig is on the line. How are you, Craig?
No, I'm not bad. Yourself, Craig?
Not bad, Craig. Not bad. What are you thinking then? There's a lot going on here with this Rangers discussion.
Well, I'll say one thing about Engels. I think he'll grow into Celtic, to be honest. But getting that aside, I think Defoe gets so much criticism, and I understand where it comes from. But at the same time, there's not many players who will just keep going and going and going and just keep their head up and keep scoring goals. He always does it every time. I know he's lacked his recently, but like McCoy's at least had guys like Haitley and that around him to help to subsidise it.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. Saturday, you can tell me your thoughts. It wasn't like peak Cyril Dessers spotlight because he had chances that he maybe could have done better with, but nothing. I don't think he had the volume or the kind of ease of chance, did he? But still, no. Craig's general point, you can't escape it because, like, should he be scoring? If he's not, where are the goals coming from? Oh, I don't know. How much is Rangers' attack the issue at the moment?
I think defensively is more an issue, which is surprising considering Rangers have scored one goal in their five defeats at Ibrox. But I just think they're conceding an alarming amount of goals. And listen, we've praised their character, we've praised their mentality when they've came back for two goals down, but that's six in the last eight games Rangers have been losing by two goals. And as much as you're praising the character for them to come back, you can't do that every time. You can't do that six out of eight times. You're not coming back for two goals down every single time.
Because Hibs are obviously also better than some, you know.
Yeah, absolutely.
Than Motherwell's an example, no offence. So
any team in the league will tell you, whether it's Rangers, Celtic, St Johnstone at the bottom of the table, if you give any team in this league a go-ahead start, they're going to be hard to come back against, because what they're going to do is they're going to sit back and they're going to protect their lead. And Rangers are giving teams time after time not only just a goal start but a two goal head start, which then leads you to chase games. It needs you to make changes to personnel, needs you to make changes to shape, and then you are just down to that will and that character to try and get back into the game. So I think defensively they've been far too easy to score goals against. And listen, as much as we've praised Jack Butland for his performances last year, obviously not too much this year. I've seen the stat, that's him 100 games for Rangers, 101 goals conceded. Celtic have conceded 15 goals all season and 32. And I've told you time and time again, I always think that if you look at the end of the season table, that goals against column is always nearabouts in order of where the season's going to end up. So I think Celtic's ability to be more solid defensively is every bit as important as the amount of goals they score.
Craig, what about the goalkeeper then? Is he getting too much stick, not enough stick, the right amount of stick?
He has made a few mistakes recently and quite high profile ones, but he's also made some unbelievable saves. I think the problem is the defence in front of, well, not even just the defensive line, but the whole defence in front of him isn't set up. Look, we keep losing these silly chances. We keep giving easy chances to other teams, and then you can't keep doing that and then expect them not to score every time. I know Jack Butland has made his fair share of mistakes recently, I will give you that, but at the same time he's also made some unbelievable saves during that time. I mean, the one against Celtic, the one against Fenerbahce, but massive saves that have kept us in games.
You do wonder if Barry Ferguson's sitting tonight, and I'm sure this debate will rage on all week, but how much does the decision become blurred because it's Bilbao, because it's Europe? Do you know what I mean? Because
if Rangers were playing at home to Ross County,
you think he undoubtedly changes his goalie.
And also, I think with goalkeepers, it's a difficult thing to leave them out and bring them back in the next game. I think if you're leaving out Jack Butland, you might be leaving out Jack Butland for the rest of the season.
You kind of might as well then in that regard.
So as I said, there are no home games to Ross County left anymore, Gordon. Every game is a big, you know, difficult game for Rangers. I'm not sure he'll make that decision. But listen, Barry maybe feels he's got nothing to lose with these players.
I think he will change them.
Do you?
Yeah, I do. Well, I think if Barry Ferguson says he's sold it, he's going to make a series of changes. Now, yes, Suter and Diamandi are suspended, so they have to be changed. But I think if you say that you're making series of changes,
those are choices.
It's not the forced ones.
Yeah.
It's choices you're going to make by bringing players out of the team because they're not performing. So for that reason, I think he's going to make changes to personnel that are available. And I think Jack Butland's going to be one of them.
Let's hear that comment from Barry Ferguson on the alterations he has in mind.
Yeah, there'll be a series of changes on Thursday night. And I can say that right now.
Does that include the goalkeeper? Because there's been a lot
of people. Well, we'll see.
Single people.
Yep. No, listen, I get where you're coming with Jack. Listen, as I said, when I come up here, I'm open and honest. And I've said to Jack, it's a bad mistake. He understands that. So I then need to go and we'll see an hour and a half. Is it 90 minutes? An hour and 15 minutes when you get the team lines. You will see some changes. That's why you carry a squad. If people make mistakes, people are off it, people don't run as much as I think they should run, then they're not going to play in my team. Because I watched that Hibs team who I thought wanted it more than this, and it hurts me to say that, but it is what it is, so it's my job now to go and try and come up with a scenario that won't happen going forward. And I tell you something, I'll work hard at doing it, and I'll make sure I do it.
Good time to call that topic, another topic you choose. Pick up the phone, we'll speak to you next.
Taking your calls on Scottish football, 0141 951 1025. This is Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
It's time for Andy Halliday and Roger Hanna to tackle the full-time teaser. Then we're going to bring in Kenny on the line. There's loads to get through from the weekend. How's that battle for the top six feeling? Hearts, St Mirren, Motherwell, a three-way tussle next weekend. Hearts going to Motherwell, St Mirren waiting in the wings as well. So lots to look forward to, or back on, I should say, from the weekend. We could probably, I think we could get Andy Halliday in trouble between now and 8 o'clock if we wind him up enough about the sending off at the weekend. We'll see if we can make him crack. But very quickly, Seb and Newton Mearns has sent this question in. I think you two will eat this one up, but we'll give it a go. See if you can do it with a perfect record. Can you name 6 non-Scottish managers who've relegated a club from the top flight since 08-09? So can you name the 6 non-Scottish managers who've relegated a club from the top flight since 08-09?
Actually in charge the day they went down.
They have to have been manager when relegation was confirmed.
Right, okay.
So I don't know if this is a technicality, but Stendhal?
That's absolutely correct.
Maxu Patalainen?
Yes, okay, we'll leave it there because you've already got 2-4 to get. Thanks to Seb and Newton Mearns for sending it in. And the email you need if you want to take part, you want to hear your question used on the show, is fulltime@clyde1.com. Kenny's on the line. How are you, Kenny?
I'm not bad, mate. I've got a couple of points.
Go for it.
Is it not true that Rangers need Leeds to win the championship so that the ownership can get taken over? Or is it a different rule?
No, it's a good point. So, Roger, let's correct me where I misstep, because I know you're good on these things. The EFL's rules are stricter than the EPL's rules. So the assumption earlier from a lot of people had been Leeds on top of the championship, they'll get promoted, this whole dual interest or dual ownership thing will be a bit easier. It now looks like Leeds might not get promoted, which on the face of it does make things more complicated. However, insert caveat that the EFL clubs are discussing that rule change, but not until June at their AGM. There's then also the bit that I don't quite know that much about, where does anybody really know what the makeup of the Rangers consortium would be and who owns what and who has what?
Yeah.
But I think the most basic way of looking at it, if Leeds don't get promoted, you're probably looking at that EFL AGM, which I think there is an appetite to change that rule because these things are quite common in football now. But technically, as it stands, Kenny's right. Leeds not getting promoted complicates things.
It
doesn't
complicates
stop things.
It could potentially delay it. I think Rangers supporters would have been more anxious had the 49ers Enterprises been, you know, the real lead on this takeover. I think Andrew Kavanagh's really emerged as a sort of lead on it. I think he would take charge of the thing. There is an appetite among EFL clubs to relax this rule. I don't think they see it as being beneficial to themselves. I think they want to come in line with the EPL way of looking at this thing. But if Leeds go up either first or second or through the playoffs, then none of this really matters.
Again, this is just a complete guess. I always assumed as well that 49ers Enterprises and Andrew Kavanagh, and it's quite a big organisation. You would be surprised if they now sat today and went, oh no, Leeds might not get promoted. Yeah, this is the full thing up in the air.
100%.
You'd be surprised if they didn't see this coming.
Yeah, I would agree. And you look at all the sort of general ownerships around the place, Manchester United and Nice, you look at the City Group and all the groups that they've got, Chelsea and Strasbourg and all the, different clubs they've got, Brighton and USG and things like that. You very seldom see these things not happening. I would even extend that to Tony Bloom's involvement at Hearts and Bill Foley's involvement at Hibs. People always say, this impediment here. They never actually stop these things from going through. So I genuinely can't see any problem.
That make you feel any better, Kenny?
Yes, it does. But my other point is, I would wait. I would like to see, like I said, when Rangers go out of Europe, which I think Babal will take us out of Europe, I'd like to see a new manager put in place for to get rid of the dead wood that we've got at Ibrox and bring his own players in for the start of next season. Because there's many times I've heard, it takes a couple of months for players to gel and get on with each other. I might hit the thing we're running next season. Next season I might be winning every game, for the beginning. I don't want to be drawing with Hearts at the beginning and then thing we're struggling with St Mirren or Motherwell, whoever. I might get a new manager in, get ready who he did his fancy and get his game fancy players in.
I'm interested in the timeline, Andy, from here. Because, Kenny talking about new managers and so on, we're talking about takeover. Let's say, and a lot of it's up in the air, let's say you're waiting until the EFL do change their dual ownership rules in June or whatever for this to be signed, sealed, delivered, announced. Does that mean you're waiting till then to get a manager? Could Rangers actually appoint a manager before this takeover? Now, people might say, well, why would you do that? But then you don't know what's been, what goes on in the background, how much unofficial influence, that a new ownership group could have.
I think that is a worry, because I think whether, Rangers do appoint a new manager, for instance, you want the 49ers to be, a part of the process, appointing the right man for the job. Now, once that manager's appointed, if the 49ers aren't yet, say they do it silently, they're not overtaken, you want them to be a part of the process of signing players. What's their budget going to be, and trying to get that done, as Kenny says, as soon as possible, so that embedded time starts for the first day of pre-season. So I think it is a bit of a worry. It's all up in the air, but like he says, I'm sure that they're way more well informed than we are, and when the time comes, it'll be done rather swiftly.
So, the more I think about it, Roger, I know on the face of it it would look backwards, but I now do wonder if Rangers might actually appoint a manager before you get this big 49ers investment announcement.
Listen, anything could happen. I don't think it needs to fall necessarily that there's a takeover first, then a manager. Yeah,
but
then
do you know what I mean, though? Ideally, that's the way you would imagine it, but I now just feel like...
Gordon, you could be... Listen, the takeover could, to all intents and purposes, already be done.
But you're waiting for the official...
And you're just waiting on certain things, you dot the I's, you cross the T's, you wait for approval here, there. For all we know, Andrew Kavanagh and the 49ers Enterprise people could be calling the shots. They might have a manager lined up already. And I think the most important thing for Rangers, as well as the money coming in, is to give the manager, whoever that may be, time. There's no point appointing the manager on the 29th of August. They need to get a manager announced, on the kind of same date Steven Gerrard was announced, that time in May, and give him time to get players out the door, get players in the door, and have as many of these players together for the start of pre-season training as they possibly can, because it's one of the callers, might have been Kenny, said Rangers need to hit the ground running next season.
The old Steven Gerrard rumours won't go away, Kenny. Is that one you would take back?
No, I would not. Once you leave, you don't come back. Even with players, once you leave, you don't come back.
Alan McGregor came back and did all right, didn't he?
Aye, he did, but he's not doing that good, Billy Dodge. Well, somebody not good, and Alan McGregor, he's not helping that Jack Butland. I mean, he's supposed to be a great, if he's a coach for the goalkeeper, he's not doing a good CV for himself, is he?
Well, don't even think about it, because Andy Halliday hopefully still be at Fir Park next season, so we don't want to get a spectacular transfer exclusive on the show. Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see. Thank you to Kenny for bringing that stuff up on 01419511025. Right, speaking of which, how does it feel to be in the top six battle going into the last day, and how disappointing was the weekend?
Lucky, that's how it feels, because I think after not getting the result at the weekend, you fully expect that you're going to come off the pitch and you know, St Mirren could have got a result at Dens Park. You see that they don't. Dundee get the victory, but then I think everyone's expecting Hearts to go and beat Dundee United at Tynecastle on the Sunday. I actually watched the game because next match day 33 depended on what that result was going to look like, and I thought Hearts were actually very, very good. I thought they dominated the game with 11 men, and I thought they were the better team with 10 men. But Dundee United managed to get the victory. It gave us another crack at it going into next week. Unfortunately, because the result we had at the weekend, it's not in our hands, but like I said, we feel lucky that we've got another opportunity to go and try and get a result in at the weekend.
Are you sure? Is it not in your hands if you win 20-0 or something?
Oh, 20-0, yeah. I forgot about that.
I suppose St Mirren could still outdo you, so technically not in your hands.
Is it nine goal difference?
Let's not worry about that too much. It is after a week, Roger, where we debated it. It's another good advert for the split this next week, isn't it?
Of course.
Not saying it's perfect, not saying everybody has to like it, I'm sure there are, but it's another good ad. If you get three teams going for that in the last day and two of them are playing each other,
I think it's terrific. It really is. We spoke about it in the show, as we said, you know, on Saturday afternoon. I think this is one of the things that really, you know, adds to why we shouldn't break the status quo, why the 12 team league with the split should endure. Some of the football's not always brilliant, but we manage to keep as many games as meaningful as we can. Just look at this weekend, you know, as well as those two top six games, Motherwell Hearts, St Mirren, Ross County, look at the other games. You know, you've got Aberdeen taking on Rangers, desperate to get third place. You've got Hibs a wee while later on Sunday taking on Dundee. There's issues at the top and bottom there. Dundee United against St Johnson. United are still going for third and St Johnson are trying to save themselves. You know, Celtic can go within 24 hours potentially of the title if they beat Kilmarnock, who need points in the bottom six. Every team's got something to play for, and I think we've got a really good structure there that does not need reconstructed.
You've said earlier you felt hard done by the sending off. That said, how do you feel generally about the performances and the way things are? Because Ibrox was so good and it was such a high and got lots of praise for it. Maybe struggle to get back to those levels?
Yeah, listen, I think they're completely different games. I thought at the weekend there, it really was a nothing game in the first 20 minutes. I thought no team had real territory, no team had real control. And then the first real chance of the game, Kelly go one goal up. And still obviously loads of time left in the game to try and get back into the game. And then whatever it may have been, 2, 3, 4 minutes later, the red card happens. And again, it was obviously, in my opinion, a really poor decision. But listen, you still need to control the controllables in terms of players. And I still don't think we've done enough even with 10 men. Because you can still play well, you can still win a game with 10 men. And I don't think we've done enough for that moment to the end of the game. But of course, the red card changes the game as well.
On the top six race red card theme, James Wilson, Hearts?
Yes, a red card.
No doubt for you?
No, it's a red card. You can't challenge that.
Yeah, red card. I think it's the old staple one when you see a loose pass, a loose touch for a teammate, and you just see the way somebody steams into a challenge, that if you go in at that force and you don't make contact with the ball and then you follow through and you catch somebody that high. I don't actually think there's a real amount of force on it. I know me and you debated about this. I think his leg isn't fully extended, I think it is, but that being said, I do think it's a red card.
I think the last replay is obviously the one, Roger. Could you see how high the contact
high, Lucas
is?
Stevenson, yeah.
One man's opinion, no more valid than anybody else's. I've found this is a really fascinating example of how we debate and disagree on these things. I'm not saying it's the worst challenge of all time. I'm not saying it's, you know, horrendous. I have been surprised by the number of people that don't think that's a red.
No, it's a red for me. And listen, it might open the door for a man called Shankland to get back into the Hearts team. And what about the irony of Lauren Shankland scoring the goal that takes Hearts into the top six before he leaves the premises?
01419511025. Get your calls in, we'll speak to you next. Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Watch as well as listen. Check out our YouTube stream now.
Coming up at 8, Callum Gallagher. Come on.
Unbelievably, nobody has been able to name the doof that we've been doofing. since last Monday. Can you name it? I'll doof it after the guys at 8. And I want to tell you about the one thing that's ruining my happiness right now. It's your kids.
Callum Gallagher on Clyde 1. Every night from 8. 0141 951 1025. This is Scottish football's league leader, Clyde 1 Super Scoreboard.
That's us already in the final part. That was quick tonight. Lots to get through from the weekend. So if you fancy squeezing in a call, you can do 0141 951 1025. The teaser tonight is thanks to Seb in Newton Mearns. Can you name the six non-Scottish managers who have relegated a club from the top flight since 2008-2009? So they have to have been the manager when relegation was confirmed. So you've got Daniel Stendel of Hearts, Miksu Patalainen of Dundee United so far. One more each.
Tommy Wright.
Who with?
Kilmarnock, yeah. Sorry.
It was a bad time for me to ask you a question. Almost forget he was Kilmarnock manager.
Yeah, Dundee United again. Jim Goodwin.
Yeah. Well, my first guess was, I actually wrote down a less one, thought he was only there for about 8 games. Exactly. So
you've only got one more to get. I'm pretty sure you will scoosh it. And please keep on coming.
More. Two more.
Sorry, two more. Keep them coming. Fulltime at Clyde1.com if you want to submit a question. All right, they're all linked anyway, so this is not an entirely different discussion from what we had before the break. But we're asking Andy how it feels to be top six. That shootout with Hearts and then St Mirren waiting there as well, Roger. The bit below that has just got unbelievably tight because, well, we started the show. We didn't expect St Johnston to win. Dundee won. Kilmarnock beat Andy's Motherwell. So you've now got just 6 points separating the bottom four. If you want to take it, if you want to leave out St Johnston, between Motherwell and, sorry, St Mirren in seventh and Dundee in 11th.
Or between Hearts in sixth, that's 5 points.
It's only 5 points. It's,
you know, I couldn't believe it was incredible. Intense for Super Scoreboard on Saturday, and Stephen Robinson came in having lost to Dundee, and he started talking about looking over their shoulder into a relegation battle. And I thought, hold on a wee minute. You know, a moment ago they looked to be in the top six. And then it's only when you see those points you think, you know, there's going to be somebody in that relegation playoff place. I think St John's not gone, but there's going to be someone in that relegation playoff place that we probably didn't think was going to be there.
Nervous?
Listen, win your games of football. Win your games of football that are coming up at the weekend. That's I said to you 2-3 weeks ago when people were talking about top six, you're focused on winning on a Saturday. If you win on the Saturday, regardless of what the results are going to be elsewhere, then where you are at the end of the season takes care of itself. So again, it's the exact same this weekend. Win your game.
What do you think, Roger, in terms of, I mean, can you pick somebody?
I'm going to pick Ross County.
We'll ask him to close his ears because, you know, Motherwell every bit in the mix. And
I'm going to pick Ross County. The reason I say that is they're struggling for goals at the minute. You know, the last couple of weeks they've had two home games against Dundee United and Aberdeen, haven't scored a single goal. I think the loss of Noah Chilvers to that ACL injury has come at a horrendous time, both for the boy and for the club. And if you look at the side, you know, I saw Dundee on Saturday there. Simon Murray might keep Dundee up on his own. I've seen a lot of St Mirren. I think they'll be fine. I think Kilmarnock have just got enough quality in there and enough nous and experience. They'll be fine. I would love to wind the two of you up and say Motherwell. I think Motherwell are probably just going to stay up, and I think Ross County will be 11th.
I was, I don't know, could say slightly panicking at the weekend and just having a wee look because the points gap is so tight. I'm not good enough with numbers to know what this means, Roger. I assume that it's just because everybody's so bunched up, but Motherwell are on, as an example, Source and Mirren, and you're talking about Stephen Robinson, not on 38 points. I went through, you know, since the playoffs were reintroduced, the team in 11th, 38 points every single season has been more than enough to keep you out of 11th. Yeah. But is it because they're all so bunched up?
I think so, probably, yeah.
So you go back last season, it was 35, 34, 35, 36, 32, 3, 5, 6, 6, 5. So it's always enough, but then Stephen Robinson saying they are looking over their shoulder. Andy is confident, I'm sure, of turning things around, but Motherwell fans might be looking over their shoulder as well. Just so many teams in there, it feels hard to almost gauge what you know, what's going to be enough.
Yeah. Listen, there's always going to be a season like this. I think, you know, when they're all much of a muchness, you know, and that's part of the thing that's made the season so entertaining. I mean, you look at the games again this weekend. you know, Motherwell versus Hearts. You could make an argument for a Motherwell win, a draw, and a Hearts win. St Mirren then, if Hearts don't win, oh, St Mirren could jump to top six. But would you put a lot of money in St Mirren winning at home to Ross County off the back of a bad defeat at Dundee? You probably wouldn't. You know, Kilmarnock, you wouldn't expect to get anything at Celtic Park. Ross County, you know, you wonder where their next goal is coming from. So it's really, really, really interesting games.
Always look at teams that have got a goal scorer and a good goalie, Andy. I feel like those things are important. How important is Simon Murray to Dundee?
Huge. Listen, to be top goal scorer for any team is impressive. To be top goal scorer for a team that's been languishing towards the bottom of the table for the most part of the season, I think it's even more impressive. I think if you add in that they lost their most creative player in Luke McKeown on deadline day at the start of the season, I think it adds to how impressive it actually is. So,
and Lyle Cameron's not.
And Lyle Cameron's not been involved over the last few games and is obviously on the move in the summer. So he's had a fantastic season. I've seen a lot of debate going round where should he get called up to the next Scotland squad. That's caused a bit of a stir. But for me, why not? If you've performed to the levels that you have last year, off the back of scoring 20 plus last year for Ross County, I think quite right, you should be in the conversation.
In the league alone, he scored more goals than Dessers, Eggerman, Nisbet, Shankland, Ida, Boyle, Dalby. He's been
Coon.
Yeah, he's been outstanding. It's incredible. The team's 11th in the league.
Yeah.
He's a top scorer with Dyson Minor.
That's a good one for later in the week. Simon Murray for Scotland, what do you think? Store up your thoughts and unleash them at the right time. The battle for third, Roger, as well is going to be interesting, because if you're Aberdeen, you're probably looking at Hibs going to Ibrox and thinking, I know Hibs are on a good run, but it's still Ibrox.
And United going to Hearts.
Yeah, they'll lose there. Yeah. There's a good chance Dundee United, we could really sneak up, but it's as you were.
I think it'll go
three
to the games between the three sides after the break. You would think Hibs are good enough to get something against Dundee, if not win the game. United, you would fancy to beat St Johnson. Maybe not after yesterday's St Johnson performance. So Aberdeen might need to get something, even a win against Rangers on Sunday at Pittodrie, to keep pace with the other two. But I think it'll come down post-split to those games between the three of them, Aberdeen, United and Hibs.
Could you pick one, Andy? Hibs just on too good a run?
I think now, especially off the back of that game at the weekend, I think Hibs are heavy favourites. I actually, quite boldly actually, probably predicted still up to 2-3 months ago, I still thought Hearts would make a late charge just off the back of playing against them, off the back of watching them in even games they were losing where I thought they were performing well. And now that it's between us, Hearts and St Mirren, with a shootout in match day 33 for top six. So I think now, I think I would have to concede that Hibs are favourites. I mean, 16 games unbeaten is just an incredible feat. I also seen the form guide over the last six, where Hibs have accumulated 16 points in that time, and Rangers and Celtic have both accumulated 9. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
There's a 7-point gap.
David Gray, manager of the month 3 times this season. It's a fantastic achievement.
You also wonder what pressure does. Again, Andy won't want to say too much of this ahead of the game, Roger, but if Motherwell don't make the top six, they'll be disappointed. Everyone will get over it. Similarly, St Mirren, if Hearts don't make that top six, that carries a whole different feeling, doesn't it?
I always get back to the year Hibernian were relegated, and on the last day before the split, it looked as if they were going to be in the top six. They lost the game and fell into the bottom six, and then they absolutely collapsed, and they finished in the relegation playoff place and lost the playoff to Hamilton Accies. And that should stand as a lesson to any of the teams, and I would include Hearts. If Hearts don't make the top six, I would include Hearts in that. It should stand as a lesson to every team that you can never be comfortable in this situation after the split.
Okay, let's round off this teaser, because I think we're nearly there. I think you've scooshed it. I think you've absolutely scooshed it. Can you name the six non-Scottish managers who've relegated a club from the top flight since 2008-2009? You've got Jim Goodwin, Tommy Wright, Daniel Stendel and Miksu Patalainen.
Roger's just spoke about the scenario, missing out in top six and then getting relegated straight after. So Terry Butcher at Hibs.
He's actually done it twice in that time, once with Inverness as well. And the last one.
Is the last one another Inverness manager, Gordon?
You tell me.
I think it's another Inverness manager, Gordon.
Okay.
Is it Richie Foran?
It's Richie Foran. That's a great shout. Really good shout. That was the hardest one, I thought, by a mile. But you've nailed it, as always. Thank you, Andy Halliday and Roger Hanna. Thank you for listening, calling, tweeting. What a big week it's going to be. The fallout from the weekend is going to continue. Rangers play Athletic Bilbao on Thursday. We're heading into the business end of the season, things to be decided. It might even be awards discussion around the corner as well. So stay tuned. We're here for you every night. 01419511025. Get it written down, get it saved. We'll speak to you tomorrow. Enjoy the rest of your Monday.